Am I responsible for my life? This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Am I responsible for my life? Oh my, yes. Everything that happens in my life, I am 100% responsible for. We say, when bad things happen to good people, why is that? When good things happen to good people, why is that? When good things happen to bad people, why is that? It's all because of simple, wonderful condition of the law of cause and effect. Simple, wonderful condition of whatever thoughts, whatever attitudes, whatever things we put in motion for ourselves, that's what we experience, no matter what it is. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, good people are generally good people. They're people who think good thoughts and who do good actions and who are responsible and loving and so forth. But when a good person allows himself to worry, when a good person allows himself to feel sorry for themselves, when a good person allows himself in any way to feel they're not in charge of their world, then bad things happen to them. Now, these are not bad people. They're not evil people. They're not people who are should be destroyed or put away. They're just people who have not been in the total habit of always being in charge of themselves. They're just not in the total habit of always being their own master. You look at a household, and when you look at the household, and a majority of the households in the world are pretty nice. The people in the household are nice, the children are nice, the pets are nice, everything is nice. And then you look at some very nice households, and they seem to have a lot of problems. They seem to have a lot of discouragement and a lot of unhappiness, and you wonder why. And then you look into the household and you find out why. Because in the privacy of the household, you find, rather than unconditional love, there is conditional love. I will love you if, I will love you if. And this conditional love brings with it all sorts of difficulties, all sorts of unhappiness, all sorts of things that are not really what we want to have. And why do we have them? Because we put the cause in motion. We put the cause in motion to have these difficulties by being conditional in our loving. You look at a baby, and a baby, generally speaking, is unconditional. They just love everybody. They just think everybody's great. But when a person comes to them with bad vibrations, with conditional love, with an attitude, they make bellowing noises and they are very unhappy. Well, you say sometimes a baby will cry with his mother. Yes, that's true. But when that mother is unconditionally loving, when that mother does not worry about the baby, but thinks the baby is the most wonderful thing in the world and thinks good thoughts and doesn't worry about bad possibilities happening to the baby will smile its way through life. And the mother, of course, will smile her way through life too. We find in some families that children are obstreperous, they're not very nice to have around, they are not very nice children, and when we look deeply into the family, we find that there is a feeling of lack of confidence, a lack of self-control, a lack of anything in the parent. And then the parents expect the child to be a loving child, and they themselves lack that talent, that ability, that habit. And the same thing goes in dogs and cats and animals that you might have in your home. When someone who is in charge of that animal is 100% loving, that animal is 100% love. Usually they say that the pets belong to the family, and they're protective of the family, and they want to make sure that the family's okay. And anybody strange come in, they want to check them out and make sure that they're a loving person, an unconditionally loving person, and they're going to be a happy addition to the family circle. And pets know very well. Babies know very well. You and I, we know very well. We know very well when unconditional love is the primary focus of the family. And because when unconditional love is the primary focus of the family, everybody in the family is happy and harmonious. Oh, they have a disagreement now and then, but it's only a moment, and they don't hold on to hurts. They don't hold on to unhappiness. They don't say, "You always do this." Because the parents don't always do this, and others don't always do this. And the message comes across of love and unconditional love. I believe in you. You're my child. I believe in you 100%. I believe in you. You're wonderful. It's not that I trust you. It's I believe in you. I believe that I have trained you in the right virtues and the right values, and everything you do is based upon those virtues and values. And so therefore, naturally I believe in you, because that's all I know you know, and that's all you know. And that's all you are. And the same with the pet. When a pet is trained to be loving and gentle and kind and fantastic, then the pet is that way. When the pet is trained to be disciplined, as we are disciplining ourselves and discipline teaching our children self-discipline, and when a pet is taught to be disciplined, when the pet comes up to you, the first thing he will do is sit down. He won't jump all over you and try to control you and manipulate you. Children oftentimes want to jump on their parents or jump on people and try to control them and manipulate them. But the dutiful child who stands next to his parent in an orderly manner and is proper in every way is the child that's been brought up that way. Children who are always running around and being kind of careless about the responsibilities of life are brought up that way. They're allowed to run free. Oh, they have to have that freedom. They have to. No, they don't. They have to have the discipline. Whatever freedom they'll find by themselves. But based upon discipline, that freedom will be beneficial to them and their world. When you love yourself, everything you do is beneficial to you and to your world. When you train your pet to be orderly, then the pet is orderly. When the pet comes into the room and goes around to everybody and wags its tail and says, "Hi, I like you, and let's play." And then you say, "Sit." And the pet sits. He doesn't think that you said, "You're a naughty dog. You must sit down. You're a naughty dog. You must mind me. You're a naughty dog." That's not what the pet hears. The pet hears a command in the now. "Sit." And the pet says, "Oh, he's talking to me. Isn't that nice? He loves me." Yeah. And the pet sits. And you say, "Come." And if you train the pet to come, he will come. And if you say to your child, "Sit." And your child won't say, "My mother is disciplining me. She's telling me what to do." And you say, "Come," to your child. And the child says, "Oh, mother is pushing me around. She's always demanding me to do things." Well, if the child has been taught self-discipline, if the child has been disciplined, then the child will not think that it's being pushed around, will not think that it's being bossed, will not think that its rights are being taken away from it, but it will know that it is part of the family circle. And part of the family circle is to do what mother or dad ask, because they're the boss. And when mother and dad determine that something is so, there's no discussion on it. That's just the way it is. And the world isn't going to set or start or stop based upon what you could get away with. The world is going to live in a perfect harmony when you teach yourself first self-discipline. And then you teach your family self-discipline, you teach your pets self-discipline, So that a dog is not going to be unhappy because you say come or because you say sit. A dog is going to do that if that's what he's been trained to do. And he will say, oh, I'm being talked to, somebody loves me. And a child, if you say, now come over here please and let's sit down and be still for a while, they're not going to think that they're being disciplined. They're going to think that you have talked to them and you want to have them do something. And they want to do anything you want them to do. Now the same is true for a husband and wife. A husband says to his wife, I have a dirty shirt here, would you please take care of it? And she says, sure, just put it here in the laundry, I'll take care of it. No, I need to have it because that's my favorite shirt. Well, all right. And she says, it's an honor to do something for you. It's an honor that you want to ask me to do something special like that for you when you know I'm so busy. But yeah, it's an honor to do it. Oh, are you so busy? No, I shouldn't have said that. It's just an honor to do it. And she goes out and takes the wash and takes the shirt and puts it in the laundry. She puts it in the washing machine. One shirt. She doesn't try to do all the other shirts or all the other things. She has the one shirt. And she just puts low water and lets it wash it. And when it's done, which is only a few moments, then she puts it in the wringer and she puts it in the dryer or hangs it out in the yard, and it's all done in just a few minutes. And then she irons it beautifully and she puts it on the hanger and she presents it to her husband and says, here is your favorite shirt. It makes me so happy to be able to prepare your favorite shirt for you. Oh, love, you are great, he says. You are just wonderful. Oh, anything you want me to do, you just tell me, and I've just had your man. I know you're my man. Yeah, I'm your man. So you just tell me, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. Because you are just so loving, so unconditionally loving, so fat. Now, sweetheart, don't overdo it. Just say that. But you see, that's love. That's pure love. And the man says to his wife, would you please wash this shirt? It's my favorite shirt, and I want to wear it today, and I didn't get it to you in time. Oh, no problem. Let me take it and throw it in the washing machine here while I'm fixing breakfast. We'll have a nice breakfast. After breakfast, I'll put it into the dryer. It takes a few minutes, and then I'll iron it for you, and it'll be ready for you to take off and wear today to work. I know that you love it. Sweetheart, you are so efficient. You are so wonderful. See, appreciation. Appreciation. And then the dog comes running into the house, and he's been out playing in the yard, and he's all full of excitement and full of everything. And you say to him, okay, sit. And the dog sits. You say, now, down. And the dog lays down. And then the dog is relaxing, becoming more comfortable. And after the dog's been laying down for a few moments, you say to the dog, come here. And the dog gets up and comes over and obediently stands there beside you, receiving your pets and receiving your love, knowing that he is appreciated. And then you say, all right, now you sit down right there. And so then the dog sits down and he looks up and his big brown eyes begging away, saying, haven't you got some treats for me? And you say to the dog, now I feed you your meals at mealtime, and you've had your breakfast. Now, you go over there and you sit down in the corner over there. And so the dog gets up, this is a ritual, and he goes over to the corner and he sits down there, and he knows that that's his place during breakfast. That's his place during lunch. That's his place during supper. That's his place. And afterwards, when he gets up from that place, somebody usually comes and brings a treat for him and says, here you are, here's a dog biscuit, here's a cookie. And he says, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, I'm glad I sat over here. I got a cookie. And happiness and harmony and joy and goodness dwell in the family. But it's all because there's no feelings of being sorry for yourself. The dog's not sorry for himself. The children are not sorry for themselves. The mother and father are not sorry for themselves. And they don't feel that they're being put on. They are disciplined, and if somebody asks for a special favor sometime, they feel honored to do that favor, not required to do it. If the mother, for some reason, says, I just haven't got the energy to do that for you, sweetheart, I'm sorry. And he says, oh, I'm sorry too. I didn't pay any attention to how busy you were, and so let me do it. Okay, good. And she won't feel put upon for him to go do his own shirt. And he'll go stick it in the washing machine, put a little soap in there, a little water in there, and it washes while they're eating their breakfast. And afterwards, he puts it in the dryer, and it only takes a few minutes. And it's an ironless shirt. It's a no-wrinkle shirt. He takes it out of the dryer and flips it a little bit and puts it on and says, perfect, 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 my favorite shirt. And the wife looks at him and says, you are such a silly guy. And they just have happiness in their heart because they love each other. And they know that they would never do anything to hurt another's feelings or to make another feel unhappy. They live in a house of harmony, a house of peace, and a house of love, but basically, it's a house of discipline. And because they have this house of discipline, everything they do is great. Everything they do is orderly. Everything they do is rewarding. We all live in a world of absolute happiness if we wish. And when good things happen to good people, it's because good people have been thinking good thoughts. They've been maintaining a good balance in their life. And this is what you and I all want to do all the time. We want to think good thoughts, be balanced at all times, and be disciplined at all times. For self-discipline is what makes the world a happy place to live. Self-discipline is what makes the world a beneficial world for all of us, so that all of us enjoy all the goodness that life has to offer. So this Thanksgiving Day, think about that. Think what you have to be thankful for. You have a beneficial family. You have an unconditionally loving family. You have a family that shares peace and harmony. You have a family that shares self-discipline. And all your ways are peace, and all your paths are pleasantness, because you have made it so. And for that, we can all give eternal thanks. A gratitude that we were trained with the discipline necessary to live a rewarding life. Have a good day. Have lots of turkey. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you.